Well, welcome. We're from 10MMM. I'm Leanne. This is Joe. Joe works for RMIT. They have a campus in Hamilton, and I work for YouthBiz, which is a general acute service, which is part of Western District Health Services. Okay, so the 10MMM project is not a radio station. It sounds like a radio station, but it's not. The 10 actually stands for the number of communities in the Southern Grampians and MMM for Multimedia Mayhem. So we've sort of got on the map where the Southern Grampians is, and on the littler one, we're looking at the centre, which is Hamilton. That has about 10,000 people, and then all the other little towns around it, which is about 10, probably more in the hundreds. So it's pretty small, isolated, and it's about 300 kilometres west of Melbourne.
It's about a 3.5 hour drive or a 40-minute flight.
Yeah.
Which is just, I never get that. 40 minutes on the plane, 4 hours in the car.
So this is what we're talking about, and this will be whenever we say Southern Grampians, that's it. So what is 10MMM? It's a collaborative project. I don't know if you saw from the first slide, we've got quite a few partners. It started back in 2002, initially funded by the Foundation for Young Australians under their Springboard Grants program. We're now funded by VicHealth. We're really looking at voice. Our motto is voice yourself. We're looking to give young people a voice in their community through multimedia, through technology, through different avenues, I guess. And really, we're using this technology to address the issues that come up with rural isolation, with the skill shortages, and obviously, as I said, to promote voice. So I'll just give a brief amount of history. Please, at any time, stop and your questions if you need to. So evidence of need, obviously, rural young people, their health indicators, mental health indicators are poorer than young people in urban communities. In 2001, a major survey was done of young people in the Southern Grampians. Young people from this survey said, really brought up that in the Southern Grampians, they felt if you were a sporty kind of kid, you had lots of stuff to do, there was lots of teams, all that sort of thing. But if you weren't, there was really little to nothing else for you to do. In this survey, they also really brought up the fact that they felt that they weren't a part of the community, that no one ever listened to them in the community. You have to understand, I guess, the Southern Grampians, it's a rural area, it's an ageing population. The Shire doesn't have any youth positions. Their fears probably aren't that unfounded that they don't have a voice in the community, and yet there is a definite population of young people who feel overlooked a lot of the time.
Can I just interject quickly? Like, for example, Leanne's the one youth worker for the whole of the Southern Grampian Shire, and her position is really, I suppose, pushed through the health service rather than any other service throughout the Shire. So it sort of shows the value of youth services and the challenge, I suppose. Sorry.
No, it's good. Obviously, also, isolation, obviously, is a big deal for us. Higher suicide rates, lower education, very, very limited public transport, if any. A lot of the outlying towns from Hamilton might have one service a day, if that. A lot of young people live on farms. It's a high agricultural community, and they rely on parents or nothing, basically, to get in and out of town. Sometimes their only outlet is school, which, if you don't go, is also another issue. Also, I've just put a bit of census information about the lower income compared to the Australian average in Southern Grampians. So with all this in mind, 10MMM began. Partnership between Western District Health Service, RMIT, and Southern Grampians Adult Education, which is an adult education organisation which has a youth education program which targets young people who are disengaged from school or been kicked out or for whatever reason. So we initially got grant support from the Foundation for Young Australians. We set up an action group, which was a committee of young people, a steering committee, which was all the partners, and then we set up a website, 10MMM.com. We might speak a bit about that later, but it was set up at this stage, which was about 2002, 2003, and was really good and went really well for a while. And then the expertise that set that up left, and it's kind of all falling in a heap, which happens, and it was sort of part of the challenge of this project. Purple Couch magazine was just a magazine run by young people. It was going to be both online and paper form. The young people really didn't like the online form, so it's now in paper form. We do a lot of radio advertisements and that kind of stuff because one of our major supporters is from the local radio station, and workshops, digital stories, which I'm sure everyone knows about. Okay, so then 2005, sorry, I'll skip through this pretty fast. 2005, we got another grant. We did more workshops because the workshops were really good. Workshops were really about bringing these kinds of technology to a rural area. Most young people from our area only ever learnt about computers in school, like really basic sort of typing, you know, using Excel, using Word. There was very little exciting or creative sort of stuff that these young people experienced with IT. So this was about, we initially went through Lab 3000, so bringing, I guess, teaching young people to create with, to engage with the media more creatively, looking at what they could do, what is possible, and yes, you can do this in Hamilton, however far away from Melbourne, you don't need to go to these urban areas. So yeah, that's a bit of accolades, blah, blah, blah. In 2006, we got a Vic Health grant, which is where we've continued now and added on to the project, which we'll talk a bit about, and we recently got commended in the Public Healthcare Awards. Oh, these are just a few of the articles.
Jackie. Me? I'll come over there so I can see. Right, now, the 10MMM project actually is rather complex. There's a lot. I'm quite new on the project, so hopefully if I get it, I can explain it to you, so I've had a little bit of time to digest it. But there are a lot of those partners that Leanne mentioned. So we've got RMIT, we've got Western District Health Service, Southern Grampians Adult Education. We have some partners in the neighbouring Shire because they became interested as well. And then we also, apart from all the partners, we also have sort of three aims within what we're doing. So the first aim is about leadership, and Leanne did mention that we have an action group, and I'll talk more about these as we go through the obligatory PowerPoint presentation. So it's about leadership, giving the opportunity for these young people to be involved in the action group where they're making the decisions and leading where the project's going. It's about the workshops, as Leanne said, bringing that cutting-edge technology that they might have access to through their regular school or engagement activities. And there is a bit of the research project, which is sort of where my position is a bit more involved in the 10MMM project. Oh, God, I always go the wrong side. I'm showing my, what is it, the IT immigrant that I am. Working on an IT project. So the leadership project, there's a number of ways for young people to get involved in the project. And they don't have to be involved all the time. They might just come in, they might be, oh no, it's leadership. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead to the other one. Be involved in the action group. And the action group members, they're a reasonably stable bunch of young people, but they might come in and out a little bit with the project. Things might change for them, they might move away, they get older, obviously. The project's for young people aged 12 to 20 and 25, and as they get older they might be sort of more transient members of the program.
What Jo briefly mentioned before was we really tried to design the project so that there was a lot of different entry points for young people to be involved. Access to technology is a major, major issue in rural areas. Some people have no access, some people have dial-up still, some people have nothing. So we couldn't just have an online community or, you know, a technology-based project and that was it. We had to have these other ways, these face-to-face meetings, other activities where if you have really poor access, you could still be involved.
25 is on the next slide. They're not just kids who are young people who are at school. We get a lot of young people who have left school or apprenticeships, or they're working on the farm. They might be looking for work, and it's sometimes really hard to try and access that population. It's a bit easy to get into schools and get your message out there, but trying to find the young people who are out in the workforce or in other organisations, they're a bit trickier to find. Once we find them, God, they're invaluable to the project. The Action Group meet fortnightly. They do have fortnightly meetings. They have an agenda sometimes, and sometimes it's a bit more informal. Sometimes we have activities with the agenda so that we can keep people engaged. We don't want to create an environment of that boring meeting action type agenda, but we want to be able to have some realism that, you know, out in the big wide world it is a little bit like that. We have webcam meetings with our partners in the Casterton area, which back on that slide they're further towards the South Australian border, and there's a secondary school there and quite a big agricultural community. So we do try and involve the young people in a whole range of different ways, and if it's not webcam, we'll have a teleconference with them as well. What the Action Group do is they initiate the activities in the workshop. So what the project does is often initiated from what they come up with. We do facilitate and help them work on framing their ideas a little bit better, but basically it's come from the young people. The Action Group developed Purple Couch magazine, and they might look out for articles from their peer group, and they do a fantastic marketing strategy and write and record the radio ads. Which is a great opportunity for these people. It might seem like such a small thing when you have access to that all the time, but when you're from a small community and there's one commercial radio, and it's a commercial radio station, we do have community radio, but doesn't reach Hamilton too well. It's a little bit static. So, you know, it's a big thing to break into that market and have the support from them. And they love it. They love making the ads. They love hearing themselves on the ads. They lead the research projects. They're heavily involved in the research project. In fact, they pretty much designed the project. And they edit and maintain the website, and they look for and develop other leadership opportunities. Some of the leadership opportunities might be for, in fact, you know, like camps and things like that. Just something I wanted to remind myself of on the next page. Transport's always an issue. If you live in town, you know, it's not so bad, pretty easy. You can ride your bike, get the school bus to drop you off. The youth biz where we meet is sort of in the central business district of town. Sounds pretty strange saying the CBD of Hamilton, you know, one street. Funding's always an issue. Leanne, the reason we go through the history is to show that, you know, this funding bucket helped us out this year, that funding bucket will help us out next year. The Vic Health funding will get us through to June 2009, and then we have to look for other opportunities if we need for this project to continue. We still need the spondulus to do it. Lack of access and the quality of IT resources, that's not a new issue for many people, but it's certainly the access and that broadband and the access in the rural areas.
Just on that point, can I just mention we've started working this year with a really tiny little community called Marino. And they have no access in their town. They have no mobile phone access. To send a text message, there's a great story that young people in that town actually walk up to this hill, which they call Text Tree Hill, and they have to stand on a fence and lean up against a tree. And that's how they send a text message. And that's quite well known in their community, and they all do that. And so this is the kind of stuff that we're talking about, like a very, very base level access that some people just don't have.
And even that particular township, they use then their ICT skills to make a movie called Murder on One Text Hill that they pretty much wrote and filmed and edited and put together based on, you know, they're having a voice, they're having their say, and they've also entered that movie into the Haywire, the ABC Haywire competition. So, you know, they've come from their issue, they're doing something about it. In terms of social research context, they're doing it all really well because they're doing something about it, and now they're seeing if they can get their message out to and look at how it works. So you know, it's all working for them. The turnover of young people, you know, there's a fairly big turnover. Sometimes there's a lot of involvement. Sometimes it's the same people. Sometimes it's a whole lot of different people. That can be a good thing at times, and other times that turnover can actually be positive in case there's like a more dominant person in the group. So the turnover's not such a big issue. In fact, what it does is it allows more people to get involved in the project. And sometimes, I think one of the challenges, and maybe it's because I'm a newer person to the project, is that structured versus the unstructured approach. And I know Leanne's often had to debrief me after an action group meeting when I've just walked out and thought, bloody hell, we've got nothing done today. You know, these people have given up an hour of their time and they've just, you know, done nothing. You know, how do we try and challenge their energy into getting something done rather than just mucking around for an hour and not really having any outcomes? So, you know, we have to balance that because it should be driven by the young people. Just muck my hair up. you can go now.
Okay, so we briefly mentioned about the workshops before. Obviously, I don't even know how many workshops we've done now. Millions. Feels like it anyway. So it was initially about bringing in expertise outside of the share, so from Melbourne or wherever, bringing them down, teaching, doing workshops over 3-5 days, whatever, working on digital stories, getting young people to create something, to express themselves through technology, and then they'd go back to Melbourne and we would have our stuff and it was all happy. Someone decided that this probably wasn't the best way to do it and wasn't actually enhancing the community anyway because we were just bringing in skills and taking them out all the time. So we worked on skilling up a local person so now we have a local person who runs most of our workshops and comes away for training and then brings that back and in themselves just to create, I guess, create it within the community instead of bringing it in and out, which is a big problem in rural communities. We've done workshops in, digital story, we've done blogs and wikis, podcasting, vodcasting, made a short film, gaming, comics, drawing. Anytime we think of anything new, we try and do a workshop on it. So I think some people are going away to find some new ideas at the moment.
And anyone here who mentions anything, I write it down. Oh, there's a good opportunity for us. Can we come to your place?
So all workshops we do in Hamilton, or we used to do in Hamilton. Now we also try and do some in the smaller outlying towns, which is good, but is also really hard because sometimes they don't have up-to-date computer systems and they don't have all the stuff that we need to run the workshops.
When we talk smaller outlying towns, often they're populations of 400 people, so they are smaller, very small outlying towns.
And there's very little resources, so it's difficult. It's something we work on all the time. We provide inclusive. We try and make it inclusive as possible. So we provide transport, we provide lunch. All workshops are free. And to date, there's been 216 young people through workshops, and I think we've got another round ready to go soon.
Yeah,
they're always on the go. The challenges. I mentioned a bit about the transferable IT expertise that. We also had a big problem with this when we did the website because the person who set up the website left. We really struggled, and I don't know if it's just our experience or if other people have felt this too, but sometimes somebody will come in and have all these brilliant ideas and set up websites and everything, and it looks really, really good. But to get that information out of their head and to teach other people, to get actual learning outcomes out of it and to teach young people and get them involved, it was always brick walls. We could never get that to happen, and we really struggled with that for a really long time. Our website is also, like everyone else, it's going through redevelopment at the moment, and hopefully we can get some valuable youth training out of that for once.
And maybe we can consult with the action group and the young people more, particularly about what Penny was talking about this morning with, you know, linking our brand, getting it further out there, rather than just relying on website and MySpace or, you know, just trying to get it out there more. Oh, God, sorry.
Yeah.
Double whammy.
And obviously access. Yeah,
and one other
time.
Quick thing. Sorry, I wasn't interrupted at all. But the venue, like when Leanne was saying we go out to the rural communities, oftentimes the venue where the computers or the ICT equipment is, it's going to be in the schools. So if it's a holiday workshop and the young people wanting to get away from school, maybe that's going to turn them off coming to the workshop because the only place they can go is back to school in order to do it. Oh, this is my bit anyway. Okay, I need this. So the third aim is the research, the opportunities for research, which is where RMIT really comes into it. The research looks at rural young people technology and social relationships, and there's a few different arms of that research, and the research is driven by the young people. It's really social research, and it's youth participation research, and Dr. Kay Schofield, who sort of is the research leader, I suppose, on this project, she's actually at a think tank in Sydney today on youth-driven approach to research and youth participation in research, so it'll be really interesting to hear what she has to say when she gets back. Firstly, there was the Your Say research project, which looked at the picture of technology use in rural Victoria. And the young people, I wasn't actually here at the time, I don't know if I should confess that, but the young people designed questions around technology use, you know, who has what sort of technology in their household, social life, you know, the impact of technology on their friendships, on their happiness, on their hopes and dreams. Inclusiveness, you know, who could use the technology? Was there enough around? Was it appropriate to their needs, their aspirations and goals? What were the positives about technology? And particularly, what questions do young people themselves want to explore? You know, what messages do they want to get out there, considering that we're talking about voicing yourself? So there was a whole process to go through with getting the research going, and the young people themselves came up with the questions, so they certainly mind mapped the issues under each of those headings and came up with appropriate questions. They wrote, they rewrote, they drafted, they redrafted. They learned how to use the SurveyMonkey program, which I don't know if you want to say anything about.
Just an online survey tool. It's really easy to use, especially with young people.
Yep, good. So there was a whole, you know, getting to go through the process of, you know, we might think we've got it good now, let's just, you know, test it on a couple of people, change it, go through that whole drafting and redrafting approach. There was a big launch where I think the magnificent artwork that was at the beginning was painted, we'll show you again at the end, which was about sort of the connectedness and ICT and help how it assists with connectedness. And the data was collected and, you know, the usual research approach. What we found, and look, I can read all these, but I'll try and make them a bit more interesting, is that one thing, you know, the average number of screens in each house was 6. And if you just stop yourself and think, how many screens do I have in my house, TV and computer, you know, we're probably roughly average, if not maybe 1 or 2 more. Over 50% of young people felt that they had no voice, which was interesting. The next interesting one to me is 87% use the computer regularly. That seemed to me to be pretty run-of-the-mill. 50% spent more than 15 hours watching TV. I hope that's a week and not a day. And 87% had no concerns about how they and their friends use technology, which I'll talk about that a bit more later. But even though that they said they had no concerns, they in fact did identify that there could be concerns. So it's not like they were that naive about their computer use. They said, I haven't got any concerns about my computer use, but there may in fact be some concerns out there. So they identified things like, you know, could be make you preoccupied, you might meet people you shouldn't and things like that. So they knew that that was a possibility. And so when I first saw that, and I'll talk about that more later, I was very concerned. I thought, you know, that's very, very, they make them very vulnerable, but in fact they're not as vulnerable as we think sometimes. But we'll get back to that in a tick. Interestingly, and I think we did it the people who were here before, 67%, and I'll go back to that again, 67% of people said that people were more of an influence than technology, and that was a bit refreshing. You know, people aren't just making friends online, but real live human beings were still a big influence on them. I sort of found that a bit refreshing. And the usual trouble accessing the internet. And that even though a lot of them want to go away from the area, a lot actually want to come back. And I think that's fantastic because in terms of building social capital within communities and skills and things like that, we probably don't want young people just to stay in their communities. You know, connectedness is a great thing, but we want people to be bridging with the outside world and bringing skills back as well. So that particularly struck me. It'd be interesting to see if those 80% later, in fact, do come back. Young people with access to good technology more likely to believe they could achieve their goals, and they're more likely to believe that they had a voice. So the people who were before, and I think we didn't the exercise where we agreed that we could achieve our goals if we used technology or something like that, and the ones who didn't have good technology thought that maybe they couldn't achieve their goals. Is that the question we had before? Greater impact, that was it, yeah. So, you know, it links up. It's, you know, it's certainly out there. You know, there's concerns about technology access. And over 50% of users surveyed, which is the bottom one there, use ICT to keep in touch with their friends and study. So it's not just about wandering around in cyberspace with sort of no goals. You know, many of them actually said we use it for research and study. Or maybe they were skewed by that I'm putting results down that people think they want to see. So there's always that sort of influence. Where are we going from here? Oh, nearly winding up anyway. The next stage of the research, which actually starts on Monday, will start looking at that social impact of technology on rural young people. So we've got a picture of how young people use technology. Now we're actually looking into that, you know, the social impact part of it. So we'll be running some focus groups actually starting next week. If the conference just had been a couple of weeks later, we would have had some results for you on this. But we'll be working with young people through a few different focus groups on, you know, influence of ICT on their happiness, influence on their social networking, influence on messaging, all those sorts of things there.
One of the big ones there, which we talked quite a lot about with the young people when we were designing the survey and the research, was the concept of mobile phone tool or master. Yeah. You know, do you use it or are you ruled by it? And that's something that we're have not come to any agreement on as yet, but that's something we'll be looking at through the focus groups and stuff more often. Also the conflicts, the conflict between young people and parents or young people and other adults about their use of technology. You know, if they use it too much, they might think that what they're doing is fine, they have no concerns and all that, but adults in their community have a very different view of that. So we're sort of exploring more of these sorts of ideas that have come out of the survey report.
Yeah, and particularly before we talked about the barriers or, you know, linking the ICT migrants and the immigrants and the natives, you know, and using that mentoring approach. And you know, sometimes it's just that understanding of how long it takes to make a digital story. Or, you know, so if you know, I know in my household some of the arguments might be around how long is spent on the computer, and you know, when I say, you know, Harry, tea's ready, come on, and it's like, I've got to save this, you know, bit of bugger that, come and have tea. But if I had a better understanding of how long it actually took for him to save his hopes and dreams into that digital story, then there'd be a little bit less conflict about that as well. In going back before, when a high number of young people said they had no concerns about their ICT use, we'll certainly be looking into that a little bit more through some focus groups and maybe some work with some young people and some parent groups. But it's a little bit conflicting to the research that's out there. There was some research through Nine, MSN and NetAlert that said that even though 40% of teens reported that they would meet somebody that they'd met online, so they'd go out and actually meet them, only 12% would actually tell their parents that they'd done that. So the fact that 40%, nearly half, would go and meet somebody that they'd met online, and then a very few would actually confess that they'd done that to their parents, is a little bit concerning for us. And we'll also be linking into some you know, issues that arise from ICT use, like cyberbullying and things like that, so cyber safety. In terms of the Your Say, you know, the advocacy and the self-advocacy that the project was set up for, the action group came up with one thing that they want to do, one thing that we talked about with them. Well, you want to have your say. What is it you want to say, and who is it you want to say it to? So I think it's 2 weeks' time. They've actually set up a forum with the council candidates as council elections coming up. So they've set up a forum between the young people of the Southern Grampian Shire and the council candidates, who I think have all RSVP'd that they're coming along. I think we've heard maybe two out of about 11 aren't coming. That's pretty good. Are coming along to the forum where the young people are actually going to have their say. So they're setting up the whole forum from way to go, really. So that's a pretty good outcome, I think. So, that's the 10 Triple M project. We hope it'll be an ongoing thing and we'll be able to look at where we've been and how we can progress the the use of technology, particularly on the young people, but that's where we're at so far. Have you got any questions? And that's the fantastic artwork, too, that the young people did, that really shows the world and their little links into connectedness, and so which is beautiful. So, when you're in Hamilton, drop into Youth Biz. We're going to drop into what your place is, don't you worry. So, thank you very much. Oh, are we on time?